Welcome to the War Room with Mike Blanco. Prepare yourself to get dropped into a new subject each week as a soldier's diligence meets entrepreneurial challenges in today's marketplace. So sit back and enjoy the tactics of the War Room with Michael Blanco. Here's your host.
So one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about this week is one of the conversations I had during a panel discussion with a couple of these startup CEOs, right? And the idea of organizational culture, right? And how important it is, organizational culture is, to driving performance excellence in the areas of technology and innovation, right? Because these people that work at these companies, they need to feel empowered, they need to feel trusted, they need freedom to innovate, create, produce. But what happens when that company begins to grow? What happens when that company, that product, that software begins to scale, right? You need structure. So how do you go about implementing structure into an organization that probably is a little bit resistant based on the talent pool to do that, right? And so the discussion that we had was just how do you balance that out, right? Because this particular company is bringing in a CEO who demands structure. And it makes sense, right? And I would also argue that the areas of startup in terms of providing and implementing systems and structures, the perfect environment that one might want to place a veteran, or a military veteran. But, you know, that's a subject for a different podcast and just my opinion. But there was a lot of resistance to the CEO. And what they started to see was something that we don't really talk about too often, right? The idea of a toxic follower, right? We all talk about the toxic leader. Like, he's easy to hate, right? The toxic leader is easy to hate. He yells, he's incompetent, he drives people into the ground, he's belligerent, nobody wants to work for him, and as a result, performance metrics suffer, profits suffer, morale suffers, people start to leave the company, and with them, so does productivity. But there is this concept, and nobody likes to talk about it, of the toxic follower. And why is this important? Because the followers are the ones that really make up your organization. Your toxic leader is one person, or it might be several leaders, but still, they are far fewer than your entire organization of personnel, right? So those toxic followers can be just as detrimental, just as devastating to your performance and your goals and your vision that a toxic leader could be, right? That's not to say that toxic leaders aren't detrimental. They 110% are. But the discussion here is toxic followers, right? And what they can do to an organization. We all know who these people are. They undermine the organization and they undermine good leaders, right? Because we've all seen it. We've all been there. I've had so many amazing leaders in my military career that were just absolute rock stars. But at the same time, within those organizations, there were toxic followers that would always, regardless, didn't matter how good this guy was, doesn't matter how sincere his vision was, they would complain. I don't know why we gotta do it this way. This is stupid. I don't wanna do that. I'm not gonna do that. And they would have these conversations with their peers about how, you know, things could be done better, or if we did it this way, it would yield this result, and blah, 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 blah. Like, we've all seen this. And you need to tell those people to shut up. You need to tell those people to get on board, right? Especially if they're like a peer, whatever the case is. You need to hold them accountable, because that type of toxic followership, right? That type of toxic follower can infect entire departments and organizations, right? And in some cases, it doesn't even matter how good or bad that leader is, right? So if you have toxic leaders, 9 out of 10 times, emergent leaders will step up, right? And they'll provide overhead cover for their departments, for their people, for their soldiers, whatever the case may be, right? So they'll do their best to offset the toxic leader, right? But it is also their responsibility to identify and remove toxic followers, right? And a lot of these toxic followers in their heads might not mean, like they just might think that they know better than everybody else, right? And that's one of their defining characteristics. And they need to realize, and leaders need to realize, that you're either going to be on board with the mission, the vision, and whatever the case may be, or you're not. And if you're not, that's okay, you just need to go somewhere else. But what you cannot afford is having toxic followers negatively impact your organization, because it becomes cancerous and infectious. So this is one of the conversations that we had, and we talked about this for a good 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Like, how do you implement structure in a culture of creativity and innovation while balancing the needs of the employees with the needs for structure to scale and create profit, right? And what I told him and just my thought process was, well, it's gonna take a very special type of leader to implement that kind of structure. But more than that, those employees, those people are gonna have to be on board. They're gonna have to say like, look, I love this company. I believe in our vision. I just want a seat on the bus. I'll sit right here. I don't care where we're going. Give me a destination. I'm with you. We'll figure it out, right? Or those are the people that you're going to want, right? That's who you're looking for, regardless of what type of CEO or whom you bring in to provide that structure, right? The other people, those are like, well, you know what? I think this is silly. I don't feel like I can be as creative or innovative as I need to, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, thank you. You should go find somewhere else to go. That you'll have that ability. So structure does not necessarily denote a lack of creativity or innovation. That's what these employees, that's what the conversation we had, was that that's what they need to understand. That's the buy-in that needs to be gotten from that CEO and from that management as they build and develop. So I thought that was a really, really, really interesting conversation on just the concept of toxic followers. And it was one that I introduced. Just because I, in my personal military career, have seen it. And I've seen some great leaders, some great organizations struggle due to toxic followers. And sometimes those toxic followers were in critical leadership positions themselves, right? And that just dragged the whole organization down. Not that we didn't accomplish our mission, not that we still weren't successful, but we weren't as successful as we could have been. That's why it's important to remember that you need to be slow to hire and quick to fire, right? You need to get rid of people as soon as they become a detriment to the entire organization, especially if it's toxic. That's not to say that just by virtue of disagreeing with a leader that you are somehow a toxic follower. Disagreement does not denote disrespect or toxicity, just the opposite, right? Like if you feel that you can have a conversation, then you can do it. If you can disagree, that's actually a really great environment that you're a part of. But you need to come with solutions. You need to be brave enough and have a dialogue that with your leader, whomever it is, like, hey, I know you wanted to do this. I know you wanted to do X, Y, and Z. Based off my assets, my resources, and my manpower, I can't do that. Here is what I can do, given your intent and given what you want. This is what I can execute. If you still want to do X, Y, and Z, this is all the additional stuff I'm going to need. This is going to be the cost, and this is how it's going to impact operations elsewhere. That is what a leader tells their superior, right? That is what they sell. A toxic follower is just going to sit there and I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't have the resources. I don't have the assets. And you know what? I think it's silly. I think it's stupid and I don't want to do it. Now they might not tell that to their leader just like that. Like, no, I can't do that. I just can't. You know, now what they will say to their peers and the people beneath them was like, well, that was stupid and this and that and the other. That guy needs to go, man. You need to go, right? There are ways to disagree without being a toxic follower. And I don't want anybody to think that just because you disagree, that makes you a toxic follower. That's just not the case. But toxic followers cannot be tolerated any more than toxic leaders can be tolerated, right? So in your organizations, you identify them and you remove them as quickly as possible. And that was a topic that they were really interested to hear and they hadn't really considered previously. So it was one of those things I wanted to share with you guys. So again, I hope you guys are crushing it this week. Have a great Monday. If you haven't checked out my podcast yet, check it out, The War Room Podcast. You can find it on Facebook, Spotify, Anchor. Check me out, www.michaelanthonyblanco.com. Hit me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. I really hope you guys have a great week. Stay savage, and I love you.
You've just been debriefed in the War Room with Michael Blanco. If you've enjoyed this week's meeting, make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. As always, remember, don't be so afraid to lose that you forget how to win.